Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. The Lexington chapter of ART has been bringing new life to some of the great Gildersleeves who have lost their recordings. Make no mistake, Gildy and his friends have moved south of the Mason-Dixon line. Here's episode 60. We call it Bye Bye Birdie.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve. The Kraft Cheese Company, who also bring you Bing Crosby every Thursday night, present each week at this time The Great Gildersleeve, written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. We'll hear from The Great Gildersleeve in just a moment. You know, sometimes it's a little difficult to get going these chilly December mornings. What we need, of course, is a good, hearty breakfast, substantial, nourishing food to give us plenty of drive and energy for the day ahead. That's one reason why wholesome parquet margarine deserves an important place on the breakfast table. Yes, parquet margarine, the delicious, nutritious spread for bread made by Kraft. First, parquet's delicate, tempting flavor makes it a real treat, spread on toast or biscuits or breakfast rolls. Second, parquet margarine is one of the best sources of the food energy you need to keep you going throughout the day. And it's a reliable year-round source of important vitamin A as well. And remember, the flavor that makes parquet such a delicious spread for bread makes it grand for baking and pan frying too. So serve parquet margarine at breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day. Tomorrow when you shop, ask your food dealer for parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine, made by Kraft. Now let's join our friend, the Great Gildersleeve, who is facing the prospect of lean days ahead, and none too cheerfully either. For Bertie, the cook, has asked for 2 weeks off to visit her family while her brother is home on leave. The moment of parting is almost at hand, and Bertie, dressed in a simple traveling frock of black satin and rhinestones, is somewhat distractedly serving her farewell breakfast.
Well, Bertie is a jewel, but she's certainly slipped this morning. I wonder what she did to this coffee.
Uncle Mort, this is no time to offend her.
Oh, you're right. By George, if anybody knows where they can get a better breakfast than this, I wish they'd tell me. Isn't this delicious, Marjorie?
Yes, it is. It's perfectly delicious.
Yes, sir. Leroy, finish your breakfast.
But, Aunt, these eggs are only half cooked.
Finish it. Do you want her to think you don't like it?
She's just excited. The trip's got her flustered.
Here's more toast, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Thank you, Bertie. You smell like a bower of roses this morning.
Yes, sir, that's perfume. Miss Marjorie gave it to me for my going away.
I didn't expect you to use it all the first day, Bertie.
Well, my hand slipped.
Oh.
But I got enough to get home on.
Bertie, this toast is wonderful. It's the most delicious toast I've ever tasted.
Why, it's just toast.
Oh, but there's a difference. Yes, sir, nobody can make toast like our Bertie.
Oh, go on. How about a little more coffee, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Have you got more there?
I think, if I milk the pot a little.
More coffee, then. Bertie, you're wonderful. I don't know how we're going to get along without you.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, I'm sure going to miss you all. I'm going to be thinking about you every minute I'm gone.
Bertie, you're pouring the coffee in the sugar bowl.
What? Oh, my land. Now, look at that mess.
Never mind, Bertie. I'll drink it. I've never yet had enough sugar in my coffee.
I don't know what came over me there, getting so absent-minded. Anybody'd think I was in love.
Bertie, you aren't, are you?
Me in love? Mr. Gildersleeve, I ain't been in love for days. Let me go clean out that sugar bowl.
Marjorie, you don't suppose she wasn't fooling?
What do you mean?
Did you ever hear of this brother she's going to visit?
Well, no.
I'll bet he's no brother at all. I bet she's going down there to marry some fella.
But why wouldn't she just say so?
Because she knows she's not coming back and she hasn't got the heart to tell us.
Oh, that's silly.
I'll tell you one way you can find out.
Shh.
What's that?
Ask her.
You don't do it that way, Leroy.
I don't see why not. I'll ask her if you're afraid.
Leroy, quiet.
Leroy, take Bertie's bundles out to the car, will you?
Okay. I was just making a suggestion, that's all.
I know. We've got to get going here. Don't want Bertie to miss that train. No, sir.
Hey, Unc, can I back the car out?
No, you may not. Why do you keep asking me that? I've told you you're not old enough to know how to back a car out.
Well, I'm old enough to know one thing about it.
What's that?
Not to back it out with its doors open.
I've asked you not to refer to that incident. Now, take Bertie's parcels.
Okay.
Careful with those bundles, Leroy. Those are Bertie's Christmas presents.
I'm being careful.
You are not. You're dropping them all over the lot.
If you ask me, we're suckers to give her all these presents just when she's going away. We ought to keep them here for bail.
Leroy, that is a mean, suspicious, unworthy attitude. I wonder if he's right.
But she won't be back till after Christmas. And anyway, it's too late now.
Bertie, are you about ready? We're going to have to leave pretty soon to catch that train.
I'm coming, Mr. Gillsleeve. Just trying to close my suitcase.
Well, here. Why don't you let me sit on it?
If you sit on it, Mr. Gillsleeve, there won't be no suitcase. Here, it's kind of a wreck, but I got it tied up with some clothesline. I guess it'll hold.
But, Bertie, where's the nice new suitcase we gave you?
Oh, that's too good. I'm saving that.
Saving it for what?
Oh, just in case.
In case of what, Bertie?
In case of a honeymoon.
Come on, let's go.
Goodbye. Goodbye, Bertie.
Goodbye, honey.
Have a good time.
Don't forget to come back. Well, there goes Bertie.
She'll come back, Uncle Mort. I know she will. Why, she was crying when she said goodbye.
So were you.
I was not.
You were, too.
Well, what if I was?
To tell the truth, I wasn't far from it myself. Saying goodbye to Bertie is like saying goodbye to eating.
Are you going to the office, Uncle Mort?
Not today. I thought I'd take Saturday off for once.
Hey, Unc, are you going past Hogan's?
Excuse me, Leroy. Uncle Mort, will you drop me at the Red Cross?
Certainly, my dear.
Hey, Unc, are you going past Hogan's?
Just a minute, Leroy. Are you going to be at the Red Cross all day?
I'm afraid so. They're going crazy down there trying to get out a big shipment.
Are you going past Hogan's, Unc?
Why, Leroy?
I've just decided the thing I want most.
Thing you want most for what?
For Christmas.
Oh, that's good. Is there any shopping I ought to do, Marjorie? Any food I ought to get?
Jeepers, I haven't even thought about that.
Yep, I've decided I'm just going to ask for one thing this Christmas.
Well, we'll make out somehow. There must be a few things in the icebox.
One thing. That's all I'm going to ask for this Christmas.
We could warm over that macaroni and cheese if there's any of that left.
Yep, one thing. That's all I want. Just one.
All right. What is it, Leroy?
A Model P-47 with a real engine.
But you've got a model airplane.
Oh, that only has rubber bands. I want one with a real engine.
But, Leroy, those things are too expensive.
But they've got a real engine. You put alcohol in it.
Well, suppose we just leave the whole thing to Santa Claus, my boy.
Yeah, I've had trouble with him before.
Well, here's the Red Cross, Miss Nightingale.
Thank you, Uncle Mort. I'm sorry to run out on you this way. Do you think you can make out all right for lunch?
Oh, we'll be fine, won't we, Leroy? Don't worry about us.
Leave the breakfast dishes for me. I'll do them when I get home.
Stop worrying. My goodness, women make all this fuss about a little housework. It's just a question of organization, that's all. We'll have the whole place neat as a pin by 10 o'clock, won't we, Leroy? Won't we, Leroy?
Yeah, fine way to spend Saturday.
Leroy, have you forgotten?
Forgotten what? Yeah, sure. We'll do the whole place in no time, huh?
Just a question of organization, that's all. We'll get these breakfast dishes out of the way quickly and we'll tackle the beds.
How about if I go do the beds while you do the dishes?
Oh, no you don't. you'll help me with these dishes. That's what I mean, Leroy. Organization.
Okay.
Ugh, these greasy things. Get the dishpan ready, Leroy.
Where is it?
I don't know. Look for it. Wouldn't you think somebody would invent a way to eliminate washing dishes? It's barbaric.
I can't find it, Unc.
What?
The dishpan.
No system in this kitchen. Wait, if you were Birdie, where would you put the dishpan?
Where nobody could find it, and that's where she put it.
Did it ever occur to you to look under the sink?
No. Is it there?
If I could bend that far, I wouldn't ask you.
Yep, that's where it is. All right, let's go.
You see, it's just a question of using the old bean. Mind over matter. That's all there is to housework. Organization. Wait a minute. Let's organize this first. Well begun is half done. I'll tell you how we'll go at it. You wash and I'll wipe.
I've got a system that's even better, huh?
What's that?
You wash and I'll wipe.
Well, it doesn't matter, but we'll do it my way. Now, the big thing is to keep it moving. No bottlenecks.
Don't worry about me.
All right, here we go.
Uh-oh. You'll get it for that one, Unc.
Well, there were 7 of those. Now there's an even half dozen. We mustn't let that stop us. Roll up my sleeves, will you? My hands are wet.
Okay, bottleneck.
The phone.
I'll get it. Hello? No, this is Leroy. No, she's at the Red Cross.
Answer the back door, Leroy.
I'm on the phone. Can't you do anything?
How'd all that water get on the floor?
Good day. May I speak to the lady of the house?
I am the lady of the house, and we don't want any.
Hey, Aunt, the water's running over.
I'm coming. I can't be everywhere. Hand me that stack of dishes and put some soap powder in the water.
Okay.
Not so much, Leroy. Look out! Oh, this is going to be one of my bad days.
Well, look at our chef.
Good evening, my dear.
You look cute in an apron. What are we having for dinner? I'm hungry.
Me too. I could eat a horse.
What are we having, Uncle Mort?
Something you both like.
What?
Chipped beef on toast.
Oh.
And boiled potatoes.
Oh.
And canned peas.
Oh.
You're very lucky to get it. Now, don't let me hear any more of that from either of you. I'll work my fingers to the bone here all day over a hot stove, and that's the kind of things I get? If I've got to cook while Birdie's away, the least you can do is not complain.
Well, you chief cook and bottle washer again tonight, huh?
Who else? Marjorie, get away from that pot. Don't be sticking your nose into things. You too, Leroy. I need room here.
What are we having, Uncle Mort?
Well, if you must know, we're having chipped beef on toast and boiled potatoes.
Again?
No canned peas?
No, I forgot to order them.
But Uncle Mort, that's just what we had last night.
Don't let me hear any complaints from you, young lady. If you'd ever taken the trouble to learn to cook, as a girl should...
Hey, the pot's boiling over.
Well, get out of here, both of you. I'm trying to do a million things at once, and you're driving me crazy. This darn oven, every time I light it. Oh, every time. I hate it. If Birdie would only come back. 2 days and it seems like a month.
Marge just called, Unc. She said to tell you she wouldn't be home for dinner tonight. She's eating over at the Walsh's. Lucky her.
Good. If she doesn't like the food here, let her eat somewhere else.
Unc?
And don't you ask me what we're going to have for dinner.
Okay. But, Unc.
What?
Don't you know how to cook anything but chipped beef and boiled potatoes?
It's a good thing somebody in this family knows how to cook something. Besides, we're not having boiled potatoes.
No?
No, I forgot to order potatoes.
How about the chipped beef?
You'll eat what's set before you, young man, and if you don't like it, you know what you can do.
Huh?
So it goes. Meow. Yes, Aesop, just you and me and some burnt toast tonight.
Meow.
Another day of this and I'll have to have these pants taken in. The Gildersleeve's stomach has gone to war.
The Great Gildersleeve will be with us again in a few seconds. But first, don't you homemakers feel pretty proud of yourselves when you discover new economies in feeding your families? Well, lots of you no doubt have already discovered the economy of using parquet margarine, Kraft's delicious, nourishing spread for bread. Serving your family parquet margarine is the kind of economy you have a right to be proud about. Parquet isn't just an ordinary margarine. Its delicate, wholesome-tasting flavor will tell you that. Parquet margarine, you know, is made by Kraft, and it's made to the same high standards of quality and flavor as all of Kraft's fine foods. Parquet margarine is wonderfully nourishing. It's one of the best energy foods you can serve. Every pound contains 9,000 units of important vitamin A. Yes, using delicious, nutritious parquet margarine is a mighty wise economy these days. So if you aren't already using parquet margarine, get acquainted with this grand product tomorrow. Just ask your food dealer for parquet. P-A-R-K-A-Y. Parquet margarine, made by Kraft. Well, let's hurry back now to the Great Gildersleeve. A week has passed since the fateful day that Bertie took her leave, and things have been going from bad to worse, till finally we find the family gathered for supper at Peavy's soda counter.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, what's it going to be?
I don't know, Peavy. Marjorie, have you decided what you'd like?
Oh, I think I'll just have some kind of a sandwich.
A wise choice. I can recommend the sandwiches.
Can you recommend anything else, Peavy?
Well, no. Sandwiches are about all we ever have. We did have a daily special at one time, but we gave that up. I forget why.
Well, look over the list there, kids. What kind of sandwich would you like?
I'll have a Denver sandwich and a double chocolate pecan marshmallow sundae. And don't forget the cherry.
One thing at a time, Leroy. You said a Denver sandwich?
You know, chopped ham and egg.
I'm afraid I'm going to have to disappoint you on the Denver sandwich, son. We haven't been able to get any eggs.
Well, how about a plain ham sandwich, then?
That sounds good. I'll have that.
I'm so hungry, anything sounds good.
Well, now, about the ham sandwich. That presents a difficulty, too.
What's that?
No ham. The Army seems to have the priority on that these days.
All right, Peavy. What kind of sandwiches have you got?
Sandwiches. Well, we haven't got any tuna.
Never mind what you haven't got. What have you got?
Mr. Gildersleeve, there you have me. You see, with the present shortage of butter...
No butter, no eggs, no ham, no tuna. Peavy, why don't you face it? You have no sandwiches.
Well, I never looked at it that way. I always make it a policy to look on the bright side. So does Mrs. Peavy.
She'd have to stay married to you.
Well, now, I wouldn't say that. I believe I can say without boasting that Mrs. Peavy and I have a good deal in common.
Hey, Unc, I don't want to be obnoxious, but let's get down to business here. What are we going to eat?
The way things are going, we'll be lucky if we get a Fig Newton.
Now there, Mr. Gildersleeve, you've come to the right place. Fig Newtons I have. Not only that, but I can allow two to a customer. And if any of your friends would like some, I can take care of them, too.
Peavy, is that all you've got? Fig Newtons?
Well, I think you'll find, Mr. Gildersleeve, if you look around, that things are bad everywhere.
I don't have to look around. Things are bad enough in my own house. Our cook's gone, I've got a niece who can't cook, and a nephew who can't stop eating. I'm wearing myself to a frazzle trying to keep the place going. By George, I'm beginning to think the only way out for a man these days is to get married.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that.
All right. A man could do worse.
Well, no, I wouldn't say that either.
At least you get 3 square meals a day. At least you don't have to eat in drugstores.
Well, no, I wouldn't.
Evie, you're stuck. Change your needle. And while you're doing it, make me a banana split.
Make it two.
Make it three.
Make it four.
Oh,
make it three. Well, goodbye, kids. Hope it's a good movie. I guess I'll take a little walk myself. Walk off that banana split. About from here to the corner ought to do it.
Hello there, Gildersleeve.
Hello, Dr. Pettibone.
Dr. Shanks tells me you had a little trouble with your teeth last week. I warned you about that, didn't I?
There's nothing the matter with my teeth, Pettibone, except they're wasting away from disuse.
No appetite?
No cook.
Well, you must come over some evening and take potluck with Mrs. Pettibone and myself. She makes a barbecued spare rib. I tell you, it's delicious.
Well.
Yes, I married quite a little cook there.
I was just saying to Peavy, I've been thinking I ought to get married myself.
It's the only thing. If I had it to do over again, I'd do it over again. Well, I'll call you soon. Good day, Gildersleeve.
Good day. Nothing worse than an invitation with no date on it, especially for spare ribs.
Oh, hello, Gildersleeve.
Hello, Hooker. Don't tell me you've been eating in that health cafeteria.
Yes, Gildy, I have. Why?
You feel healthy now?
I suppose so, but I'm still doggone hungry. Bertie's still out of town?
Yes. We ate at Peavy's drugstore. A banana split a la carte.
I had raw carrots and radishes, bean soup and bran crackers, and stewed rhubarb.
I'm sick of it.
So am I, Gildy. This war's going to be tough on bachelors. Personally, I'm doing something about it.
What?
Yes, sir, I'll be eating like a king pretty soon. There's still one way to get a cook, you know.
What's that?
Marry her.
Marry her? Are you crazy, Hooker?
No, Gildy. Just hungry.
Well, there's such a thing as letting your appetite run away with you.
Not if the lady's pretty and charming. Those southern cooks, you know.
Hooker! Leela Ransom wouldn't marry you if you were the last man on earth.
No, maybe so, Gildy. But when I go around there tomorrow night and show her a certain piece of jewelry...
Jewelry? Hooker, that's bribery, and as a judge on the bench, you ought to know it.
Call it whatever you like, but when she sees it, my days at the health cafeteria are gone forever.
You're planning this for tomorrow night?
If the ring's finished, and I've got a promise from the jeweler.
I see. Well, Horace, if you're serious...
Of course I'm serious.
Then I ought to wish you well. Good luck to you, old man, and if she says yes, congratulations.
Thanks, Throckmorton.
You're welcome, Horace. Well, I'll be seeing you.
Aren't you going my way, downtown?
Why, no, Horace. I've got to rush home and see about my own cooking arrangements, if you know what I mean.
Morton, it's you.
Yes.
Come in. Oh, no, don't. Wait there a minute till I tell you.
The old goat. Did he sneak around the back way?
All right, you can come in now.
Leela, are you hiding someone?
Why, Throckmorton, I declare I believe you're jealous.
No, I'm not.
Oh, say you're jealous. Just a teensy bit.
Well, all right. A teensy bit.
Oh, good. Well, in that case, I'd better explain myself, because if you're jealous, goodness knows, you might even be dangerous.
Yes. Yes, I might forget myself.
Well, what I was hiding, silly, was your Christmas present.
Oh.
Yes, you see, I turned down all these invitations just to stay home tonight and work on it. And that's what I was doing when you almost walked in on me.
That was sweet of you, Leela, to stay home just for me.
Well, I wouldn't do it for every Tom, Dick, and Harry, I can tell you that.
I hope you wouldn't do it for every Tom, Dick, and Horace, either.
Oh, you. You are jealous, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
Sit down, Throckmorton. Sit on the couch here. But don't sit at that end, because that's where your present is, under the cushion.
Oh.
No fair peeking now. You hear?
All right. Why don't you sit down here beside me, Leela?
Well, I guess I'll have to, because if I didn't, I'd be sitting on your present, wouldn't I?
Leela, I have something serious to say to you tonight.
Oh, good. I mean, yes, Throckmorton?
Well, I don't exactly know how to begin.
Before you do, let me say something.
Yes?
You probably think of me as a flighty little flibbertigibbet who's only interested in parties and pretty clothes and dancing and...
Oh, no, I don't, really.
Well, I wouldn't blame you if you did, but I just want to say that I have my serious side, too, although I don't show it to everybody.
Good. I like a girl who can be serious.
Now, what was it you wanted to say, Throckmorton?
Leela, have you ever known what it is to be lonely?
Gracious, I should say I have. Some of the loneliest years of my life were when I was married to Beauregard Ransom.
Oh, Beauregard again.
Tell me something, and I want you to be frank. Are you jealous of Beauregard?
No, Leela, I think I can honestly say that I'm not.
That was one of the troubles with Beauregard. Nobody was ever jealous of him. I was frightfully young when I married him, you know. Much too young to know what I was doing.
You poor child.
Yes, I married him to please my father, and then after I'd married him, father couldn't stand him. But that's a thing of the past. I'd rather not say anything more about it, if you don't mind.
Don't. I only hope that bitter experience hasn't soured you on the whole idea of marriage, Leela.
Oh, goodness, no. Don't be silly.
I'm glad, because, well, you and I have known each other for quite a while now, Leela.
Yes, we have, Throckmorton. I'll never forget the first time I laid eyes on you. Standing outside my door there so handsome in your air raid helmet and your flashlight.
Those were the happy days before rationing.
And I remember the first time you sang for me. Do you remember?
How could I forget? Leela?
Yes, Throckmorton.
Let's continue where we left off then, shall we?
Oh, yes.
As if nothing had happened since. As if nothing had come between us, or ever could.
Yes.
Don't answer it, Leela.
I won't.
Ignore it, and maybe he'll go away.
As far as I'm concerned, he doesn't even exist. Now shut your eyes, Throckmorton.
Why?
Don't ask. Just shut them.
All right. They're shut. She kissed me.
Hey, Unc.
What is it you want, Leroy? Don't you know better than to break in here?
Birdie's back.
Birdie!
She just phoned. She's down at the station waiting.
Birdie! She's back. Birdie's back. She's back early. I'll be right down to get her.
The Throckmorton.
I'll see you later, Leela. I've got to go. Birdie's back. Birdie, this is like old times. Eating again.
Yes, sir. How about a little more lamb, Mr. Gillsleeve?
No, thank you, Birdie.
More potatoes?
I'm trying to avoid starches, Birdie. I think four potatoes is plenty.
Well, how about some more greens? You ain't gonna let all those good greens go to waste now, are you?
No, I'm afraid I haven't got room for a single green.
No room? Mr. Gillsleeve, you ain't forgot about dessert, have you?
Dessert? Oh, my goodness. What is it?
Chocolate bread pudding with whipped cream.
Well, I'll do what I can with it, Birdie. Gildersleeve's stomach is back from the war. Good night, everybody.
Music heard on this program was directed by Claude Sweetin. This is Aaron Heil speaking for the Kraft Cheese Company and inviting you to listen in next Sunday for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve. This presentation of The Great Gildersleeve starred Lee Delaney as The Great Gildersleeve. Missy Carl played Leroy, with Cindy Martin Asher as Marjorie. Lisette Ralph played Birdie. Stuart Talbert played Doc Pettibone. Nick Helton was the judge. Pam Hungate was Leela Ransom, and yours truly, Bob Hutchison, played Mr. Peavy. The production was directed by Mike Wheeler. This is Bob Hutchison speaking and inviting you to join us again next time for the further adventures of the Great Gildersleeve.
Now let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Singing about 62 inches of loveliness.
I put two eyes of blue.
What on earth I could do? Has anybody seen my girl? Turned up nose, turned down nose, never had a night before. Has anybody seen my girl? Now if you run into a 5 foot two, covered with her, diamond rings and all those things, don't you like it?
Here's a tune that's a special favorite of some really swell guys we met a few weeks ago in Philadelphia. They're Chrysler Plymouth dealers down there. Don Cornell sings it.
Again, this couldn't happen again. This is that once in a lifetime. This is a thrill divine. What's more, this never happened before. Though I have prayed for a lifetime that such as you would suddenly be mine to hold as I'm holding you now. Never so near, mine to have when the now and the here disappear. What matters, dear, for when this doesn't happen again? We'll have this moment forever. Never, never again.
When any of the boys in the band need a button sewed on a uniform or a rip lining fixed, little Laura Leslie is a handy gal with a needle and thread. So we know she isn't fooling when she says she can do the things she sings about now.
Homework, I wanna do homework. genius who sits and plans with pots and pans at home. A genius who makes a pie that keeps a god home. A table wiper who can change a diaper, that's the thing I want to do best. To be the master of a mustard plaster when the cold goes down to his chest. Homework, I wanna do homework. A genius who has a way that makes him stay at home. A genius who has what takes that makes or breaks a home.
You a little armchair voyaging as he sings a tune that's become one of our really successful Victor records.
You ask where I live, here's the address I give, the four winds and the seven seas. The hills were my home till I started to roam, the four winds and the seven seas. My love and I would sit and sigh till the moon paled. We vowed and said someday we'd wed in the church in the vale. A train came to town and a stranger stepped down, a smiling so my love could see. She answered his smile, and then after a while, the only stranger there was me. And that is why my heart and I follow every breeze. You ask where I live, here's the address I give, the four winds and the seven seas. The four winds and the seven seas.
Throughout the country will be unfurling their colors soon as the football season gets underway. In the Midwest, they'll be striking up this tune, the Michigan Victory March.
Thank you. Kay Best and the Kay Choir, feeling really great.
It's a great feeling to suddenly find the clouds a silver line when the sun breaks through. It's a great feeling to walk down the street and see the folks you meet smiling back at you. As long as I've got someone to embrace, as far as I'm concerned, the world is such a lovely place. It's a great feeling, your credit is nil, you'll never make a mill, but nonetheless I say, if you're in love, you're feeling great.
It's a great, great feeling. Yes, it's a great, 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 great feeling.
Gave him a guitar in high school. Well, he'd never learned how to do much more with it than sound an A. But at least it started him singing. So I guess we owe that uncle a debt of gratitude when Don treats us to a tune like this.
Every time I meet you, I meet you for the first time. Just as though we never had met before. Every time I kiss you for the first time, and my happy heart keeps begging you for more. Every time you thrill me for the first time. The moment is grand and the feeling is so brand new. Every time you leave me, won't you take this thought along with you? I've fallen in love for the first and the last time, too.
And Don Cornell tell me they've discovered the perfect way for any couple to keep from arguing. just sing love songs together. I can see what they mean. I think you'll agree when you hear them.
I want someone I can call my own.
Call my own.
Call my own. I want someone to be mine alone.
Love is a beautiful thing.
I want someone who is not too cold.
Not too cold.
Not too cold. I want someone I can have and hold.
Love is a beautiful thing.
The world is rosy and full of joy when there's love in your heart.
There's happiness for each girl and boy. All you need is a star.
I wish somebody would marry me.
Marry me.
Marry me.
I wish somebody would marry me.
Love is a beautiful thing.
I wish somebody would marry me.
Marry me.
Marry me.
I wish somebody would marry me.
Love is a beautiful thing.
Love is a beautiful,
beautiful, beautiful. Love is a beautiful thing.
Nothing better for putting a person in a really mellow mood than a ride in that silver anniversary Chrysler with that powerful high-compression Spitfire engine. Well, maybe nothing outside of listening to Tony Lamo sing a song like this.
You're so understanding whenever I feel blue, whenever someone, I always run to you. You're so understanding whenever things go wrong. If I have you to cling to, then I'll that way for long. As long as you are near me, my cares are far away. Your smile can always cheer me. Your kiss, your touch can do so much. Oh, you're so understanding in everything you do. And darling, I will always be understanding too. Thank you.
lovely Laura Leslie to give us her personal views on romance. Laura.
Wonderful, marvelous, you should care for me. It's awful nice, paradise, what I long to see.
Alamo has one very unusual hobby for a fellow that specializes in singing as romantically as he does. He's quite a chess player, this boy. He tells me that a good game of chess makes a really wonderful evening. But don't try to kid me, Tony. It's not chess you've got on your mind when you sing a song like this next tune.
You're breaking my heart, but you're leaving. You've fallen somebody new. It isn't too easy believing you'd leave after all we've been through. It's breaking my heart to remember the dreams we depended upon. You're leaving a slow, dying ember. I'll miss you, my love, when you're gone. I wish you joy, though teardrops burn. But if someday you should want to return, please hurry back and we'll make a new start, dear. Till then, you're breaking my heart. But if someday you should want to return, please hurry back and we'll make a new start, dear. Till then, you're breaking my heart.
hear a good song for the first time, I always try to figure who can sing it best in the Swing and Sway Band. Well, here's one I knew right away was made for America's sweethearts, Laura Leslie and Don Cornell.
Oh, do you know in heaven that made you the angel you are? Who do you see, I wonder, that made you just the cutest little charmer by far? And where did you get those good looks, those eyes that glow like a star? Seems they made the sunshine only twice, in your smile and paradise. So tell me, won't you, darling, who do you know in heaven that made you the angel you are?
Who do you know in heaven that made you the angel you are? Who did you see, I wonder, that made you just the cutest little charmer by far? Where did you get those good looks, those eyes that glow like a star? It seems they made the sunshine only twice, in your smile and paradise. So tell me, won't you, darling, who do you know in heaven that made you the angel you are?
That's all the time I've got for today. For more ART podcasts, please go to www.americanradiotheater.org. You know, we put up a new one every month. The next Old Time Radio Marathon will be on December the 12th, 9 a.m. Pacific to 9 p.m. Pacific, on radiooutofthepast.org. Hey, see you later!